It's been a beautiful day, wonderful weather. If you made it out to the church land today, you know that they put the shingles on. Thank you, Larry and your crew. I think there was, what, maybe 7-8 people out there? All right, and we had some refreshments and stuff too. Thank you, Sharon. And Rachel, there she is. You're sitting a couple of rows up. Yeah, Rachel, thank you for providing that. We pray, we all do our part. It's amazing what God is doing out there. So best years are always ahead of us when we got Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We've had some celebrations this past week. David Carl had a birthday. That's always good. We've got a couple of birthdays coming up too. Emma Matsky, she has a birthday tomorrow. And then Samia, your birthday's coming up next week. And then this past week, we also had Dan and Mary Jo Grimsrud celebrated their wedding anniversary. And we're just celebrating as a church family then the happiness that comes to one another. In your prayers, I would ask you to remember Dean and Michelle Paxson. They live out in Tacoma. They're covenant members of our church. Their church that they worship at out there is a Missouri City Lutheran church, and there was some arson fire. And they're going to be okay, you know, but they have smoke damage to the sanctuary and stuff. So not everybody loves Jesus. Not everybody loves the church, right? And so we pray for whoever started that fire, that they would know repentance, that they would know the gift of forgiveness, that they would know the love of Jesus. So please keep that congregation in your prayers. Don's put lots of things happening. In case you're wondering, the time for the Easter Sunday service on that Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on the church land. So if you're putting things on your calendar, first Easter service on the church land, that will be on Easter Sunday the 17th. Woo! See, I told you people get excited around here, so it's contagious. And also, we got two Thrivent grants this past week. And we're going to be putting CDs and DVDs together so that you have things to give people during the 50 days of Easter. And that's a sermon series on the 10th book of the New Testament, which is Ephesians. And Voldemar, I saw Voldemar come in. Isn't Voldemar here? Oh, there he is. Yeah, Voldemar and also Dallas Groton, they have a sermon too that they preached on Ephesians here. So they'll be a part of that as well. And then we ordered some pens so that you can lose your life for Jesus so that you can keep it forever, right? And so it'll be either lose a pen or give a pen, and it'll have a special invite as well so that you can invite someone to come and worship with you. If you're a guest or a visitor tonight, please know that your presence is a gift to us. And we pray that our service of word and sacrament will be a gift to you as well. Other announcements are in your bulletin. And I would encourage you to please take note of those as well. Let us rise as we are able for our confession and forgiveness. We worship as we live in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In silence, let us confess our sins to our Lord. Heavenly Father,
I know the wrong I have done, and my sin is always before me. I have broken your laws and done what is evil in your sight. Have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Wash away all my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart and renew a faithful spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has sent his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has bestowed upon them the Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved.
Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen.
Our opening hymn, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my way." Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praised be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all consolation. Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Call upon him while he is near.
Let the wicked abandon their ways,
and the unrighteous their thoughts.
Let them turn to the Lord for mercy.
To our God, who is generous in forgiving.
All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive bread and eat. Come without paying and without cost, drink wine and milk.
Praise be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all consolation. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our Lenten song. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, draw us into this season of repentance and create within us fertile soil in which your word bursts forth in lives marked by the abundant fruit of your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning with verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses, and as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness, and the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered, but in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right, he shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by this. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 85. We'll sing You Servants of God, and the women and men are singing designated verses.
Is lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our gospel verse. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered them, "You think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. For those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered, "Sir, forgive it this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you could cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Earlier today, I posted the children's message based upon the spiritual rock. Jesus is the rock of our salvation, so you can watch it, or you can share it with grandchildren, or with nephews and nieces, or with your own small ones at home as well. Repent or perish. We hear that refrain in our scripture for tonight. Warnings are giving. Trumpets are sounded. Repent or perish. Martin Luther, when asked, "What does baptism mean for daily living?" responded, "It means that my sinful self, with all of its evil deeds and desires, should be drowned through daily repentance, and that day after day, a new self should arise to live with Christ in righteousness and purity forever." Repentance. Getting repented. Hey, you! Getting our attention. And about face.
a turnaround, a transformation, a conversion, confession, contrition, amendment of life, repentance. But hardness of heart can get in the way. The physical man compared to the spiritual man. Repent or perish. Well, let's begin with our gospel tonight, and let's begin where the gospel begins. What do you think? Do you think, Jesus says, let's talk about suffering. Let's talk about calamity. Let's talk about tragedy. Let's talk about disaster. Why? Why me? Give me an explanation. What did I do to deserve this? We hear some of this being addressed both in Ezekiel and in 1 Corinthians. Why? Well, we want an answer. So Jesus says, do you think, and he has a couple of illustrations there, examples, that when there were some Galileans offering sacrifice in the temple, and Pilate went and slaughtered them, and their blood got mingled with the animal sacrifices, do you think it's because they were scoundrels? Do you think they were wicked, that they deserved it? That they deserved that kind of heinous punishment? What do you think? No, I say to you, the one who has all authority, Jesus. No, that's not why. Or what about a little earlier, when they were building the tower, Siloam, it crashed, 18 people were killed. You think they were worse sinners? No, I say to you. And then he tells a parable. Question, why? If you've been following the news, you know that you can't go a day without having some kind of tragedy. I read this past week that accidents on highways, 100 a day, the equivalent of a Boeing 747 every 2 days, fatalities on the highway. You heard about 6 golfers and their coach, and they were at a golf tournament, and they were heading home. And this is a small Christian university in New Mexico. Southwest University. These are kids that just, they live their lives for Jesus. They can't imagine a day without Jesus. And they're coming, and on the freeway, it's probably 75 miles an hour. And they're coming over the hill on the other side. A 13-year-old is driving. A 13-year-old is killed. The 38-year-old passenger is killed. In Texas, you can have a worker's permit, you know, on the farm, but you have to have be 15. Why? 7 young lives in one van and 2 in another vehicle. Oh God, 9 people killed. There's a story about a girl named Lacey. She was finishing up, you know, her freshman year, 18 years old. And she said to her mother, you see this cute little heart? I want you to get a little heart tattoo and I'll get one. We'll have matching one. And her mother said, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want to do that. But she did. And she says, I'm grateful to God that I carry this small little reminder with me. A warning, an example, an illustration of how precious life is. Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? We want an explanation, and what we get is a response. Maybe it's the wrong question we're asking. You see, maybe the question should not be, why does a person die when they do and how they do, but why in the world are you even here? Why am I here? Why do some people get 80, 90 years? Some people get 4 or 5 years? I don't know. I do know that life is a mystery, but I think the better question is this. You're here for a purpose. You're not an accident to God. So why are you here? To soak up everything for yourself? Is that why I'm here? Squeeze out another year, another month? I know how precious life is. I don't take a single day for granted. Not a single day, my friends. And I give thanks to God as I wake up and as I lay my head down every night. And I know the power of prayer. And I know the power of presence, of having people that walk with me in the journey, in community, so that we don't walk alone. Why? And what's the response? A parable. Friday, yesterday, I had a procedure done at Mayo Clinic. And I'm happy to admit that it helped. I've just had a super fantastic, like 100% day, like 300% week. You need to know that your prayers are never wasted. When we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, the prayer is never wasted. God's will is done. And we need to claim that. We need to cling to that all the time. Well, here's what happened while they were doing the procedure. It took a little bit longer. Instead of 20 minutes, it probably took 45 minutes. But God put me into a room where there was like four or five workers. And you know what we spent over a half hour doing? Talking about Jesus. They asked me what I did, a pastor, what's the plans for the rest of the day. I said, oh, I'm going to have a movie night with some of my grandkids. You know, we're going to watch a movie together, maybe have some ice cream. I said, I just had a wonderful, fruitful week. God is good. And we talked about Emmanuel, the real Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. I talked about you too. And we talked about Schindler's List, if you've ever seen that movie. How at the very end, it really is the question of, what about the fruit? What about the figs? At the very end of that movie, if you've ever seen it, I got a cold feeling for crying out loud. That could have saved two more lives for crying out loud. This scoundrel of a man, this wicked man at the beginning of the movie, that's transformation. That's repentance, my friends. Watch a movie like that and you can't come away and not understand the gospel. And then we talked about what happened to these young people, so young in their lives, going to a Christian school and wanting to live their lives for the name of Jesus. We talked about how sometimes we have close shaves, a brush with death. We talked about that at the men's Bible study this past weekend here too, because it's not just one person's story. Read the newsletter in April. It's going to come out early this month because God's been busy. And Judy Pierce has an article in there because each month we have a little stewardship nugget in there. It's worth the price of the paper, my friend, for sure. Right, Judy? I think it is. It's about what our scriptures are about. It's about the sanctity of life, the sacredness of life, the gift of life, the preciousness of life. Not why did this person die at that age in those circumstances, but how's God going to respond to it? And how are we going to respond when somebody says, you know, it's been 3 years. You know what a fig tree does, right? It chews up the moisture. I mean, it's greedy. It just wants more and more and more and more water. A vineyard owner would give up some space, some fertile soil, the best soil, an abundance of water for it. But you had to wait for 3 years for it to bear fruit. It's the fourth year. Give me some of that fruit. Where in the world is the fruit? Cut it down. Thank God for intercessory prayer. That someone intervenes. It's like what we hear in the New Testament. Why hasn't Jesus come back? Well, because God is patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. You see, perish is forever. Mortality? That's just, you know, we're born, we die. God loves the world so much that he sent Jesus into the world so that we don't perish, so that we're not eternally separated from the very source and ground of our being, from our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, our Lord and Savior, the rock of our salvation. We don't want to perish. So God says, repent. Repent. Hey, you! Yeah, you! You're mine! Jesus died for you. for every one of your sins. What do you think? Okay. Not the questions we have. But the parable says, God's response is, holy dung. Holy dung. I grew up on a farm. You know what dung is? Anybody know what dung is? It's manure. Fertilizer. That's the answer. Let me dig around it. Let me aerate it. Maybe it needs to have the soil loosened up. You can always cut it down. I mean, judgment is coming. But for right now, aerate it. And now that the water can get in there and the fertilizer, put some holy dung on it. Do it. You'll be surprised what happens. I grew up on a farm. Oh, I understand dung. In my first parish at Lake Lillian, we had a friend of mine named Pete. Pete Olson was a classmate of mine at the seminary. His wife, I think, came from Indianapolis. So she was a city gal. Wasn't a farm girl. There's a difference. So in Brewton, Minnesota, they're driving in the field, and there's the cows out in the pasture, and they're doing their job. And she looks at her husband and says, oh my God, right in the public like that? You can't do that, can it? Yeah, it can and does do that. It's a natural thing, you know, going to the bathroom. Well, in Lake Lillian, 90% of the members I served were farmers. Soil people. Salt of the earth, soil people. They didn't have much materially, but oh my goodness, did they love Jesus. And we went out to Randy Gilbert's place. I bet my wife remembers this. Joshua was maybe 4, maybe 5. Because then we had Jenna, and then we had Rachel. So maybe 1, 3, and 5. And he was a dairy farmer. We had fun out there. Randy was milking the cows. You know how you have some baby calves, if you're familiar with this, and you can kind of bottle feed them? So Joshua got to bottle feed them. And, you know, I watched so he wasn't stepping in all those piles of holy dung. Anyway, we get home. We're coming in through the back door of the parsonage. And Julie's there to meet us because that's her firstborn, right? Hey, Josh, you know, how was it on the farm? The animals? She didn't even get a word out of her mouth. You know why? You know what aroma is? You know what an odor is? If you know the smell of manure, then you know, especially liquid manure nowadays, oh my goodness. Whew. Here's what happens. The door opens. Before she can even say anything, she goes, oh my gosh, in the basement now! We had to go down to the basement, we had to take off all of our clothes, get them washed. I mean, it was holy dung. And when you have manure, it penetrates. Catch that. It penetrates. So the parable that Jesus is telling is no small thing. Aerate the soil. Put manure on it. It penetrates. It's evangelical. It's going to do its job. The word doesn't return empty, my friends. Never. Yeah, I understand growing up on a farm manure. And it helps me understand what Jesus is saying in our gospel for tonight, in the parable that he gives us. God's response to sin, the wages of which is death, is the cross and the promise of the third day. That's what we live in. That's our security. People are going to say, what's your security? Well, I've got the stocks, or I've got the bonds, or I've got a portfolio, or I've got a house, or I've got a car. Temporal. I'm talking about eternal. What's your security? Tell you a parable. Where is your security? Not your baptism. That is focus on the time. Not your faith. Not weekly communion. Not weekly church. Not not your security. Security is not in yourself. 100% in Jesus Christ. His death, his resurrection, given for every one of us. That's the blessing. Not Jesus. Sacrifices for sins that haven't even happened. This guy is unbelievable. And he's been blessed. Lots of wealth, lots of riches. That's been good to him. And the blink of an eye, he's gone. His security is not in his property, not in his fields, not in his livestock, not even in his kids. All he's got is his health and his wife. His wife is human. Satan gets the second shot. Now he gets filled, flooded with disease. And his wife says, enough is enough. Curse God and die. And Job says, shall we receive good at the hands of God and not also evil? And in all this, Job did not sin. And he did not charge God with wrong. And finally, after the whirlwind speeches at the end of the book of Job, he repents of his sin. And his sin is that he forgot that he's finite and God is infinite. That God is sovereign and he is not. God is sovereign and I am not. And we are not. That's why our security has to rest in Jesus. In Christ alone, in his death on the cross, in his resurrection on the third day. So when we get to the end of Luke's gospel, there are two thieves on the cross. And the one says, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us too. But the second thief turns and says to Jesus, we're getting what we deserve. We're sinners and justice says we deserve to die. We deserve to perish. But this man, Jesus, is innocent. He's righteous. And then he says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Remember me when you come in your kingdom. And you know what Jesus says to him? Holy dung. Holy dung. Fertilizer. Manure. Today. Not maybe somewhere, hopefully, perhaps, in the future. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Now that's security. From the mouth of Jesus. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. I mentioned last week how we had the end of Luke 13 last week, and this week we've got the beginning of Luke 13. They don't always run chronologically, you know. Things kind of jump around in the Bible, especially with the lectionary texts and stuff. But do you know how this chapter is going to come to a close? Jesus will be weeping because some people refuse to repent and they harden their hearts. And that breaks God's heart. It breaks God's heart. But Jesus says to those who give him a warning, you go and tell that fox, Herod, that conniving fox that's after my chickens, that this mother hen is not going to let him have his way. You go and tell that fox to get out of my chicken house, because today and tomorrow I perform my cures. And on the third day, I finish my course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise if you are able. The song of the day, rock the baby. Congregation may be seated. Was everyone able to receive their communion when they came in? It looks like we have good. We'll be having where we're at in our pews communion. We'll consecrate the elements together. I remind you also that there's an offering basket in the back. We don't pass them in here. And however it is that you give your tithes to the Lord and where you support the name of Jesus, I give you thanks on his behalf. Let us pray. Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, together with rivers and seas, wells and springs, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and provided them water from the rock. We praise you for Christ, our rock and our water, who joined us in our desert, pouring out his life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food, and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin, that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours. Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. I invite you now with your consecrated bread and wine to remove the slip cover with the bread. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. And then carefully remove the other slip cover. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. We continue with our closing prayer. Now may the assurance of our Lord's resurrection and the promise of his coming again strengthen you in faith and keep you in hope unto eternal life. Amen.
For the church, the world, and our poor sinful selves, let us pray to our Lord, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. He diagnoses our sin and provides our remedy. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. He opens an escape door when we are tempted and helps us to repent when we don't walk through. Help us in these struggles and have mercy on us when we fall. Lord, in your mercy.
Through our prayer.
Make the church your sentinel. Use its words and deeds to help sinners turn from evil and turn toward the cross upon which hangs their salvation. Keep your persecuted servants safe in their time of testing and cause their tormentors to repent of their sin. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Help everyone in this congregation to be fruitful fig trees, abounding in righteousness, faithfulness, love, peace, and every good work. May our lives constantly proclaim your glory and nourish your people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We plead on behalf of everyone who suffers in body, mind, or spirit, especially these we name.
Gracious Father, we pray for your healing hand. For Amy Cooper, Gerald Bolton, Susan Olson, Sheldon Bieri, for Pastor Ken Kimball, we pray for Travis. We pray for the people of Ukraine, for Natalie, for Jane, for Pam and Katie and Bob and Marcia. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Lindsay Hoffer. She had a stroke, Lord, and we're praying for her upcoming surgery. Be with Rich, her husband, and be with the kids, with Noel and Chris. Lord, grant mercy and peace to all who suffer so many things. And keep our minds always on the hope and promise of the resurrection. Comfort Pastor Tim Duesenberg and his family as they grieve the loss of his mother and as they celebrate her presence in your presence forever.
We pray for everyone who cares for hurting, lonely, grieving, and vulnerable people. Refresh them with your gracious spirit and give them the joy of your saving help. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Hear us, dear Lord, and answer our prayers according to your will, to your glory, and for the benefit of the people you long to save.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I invite you to rise as you are able for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our going forth song, Guide Me, Ever Great Redeemer. Peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.